Every single day, I see tens upon tens of new clothing brands, all who believe they are a special snowflake that's going to stand out. However, they all say the same or similar things. So the question is, how do you stand out in a saturated market? You're listening to Street Cred, the show focused on helping clothing brands turn their audience into a community. I'm Elijah Delport. I have a community on School. I talk about it a lot. It's where I channel all of my people that listen to all of my different traffic forms on YouTube, on podcasts, on Instagram, whatever. I always say, if you want more free stuff that's really good, go to the community. And it's where lots of brand owners gather. And the thing is with that is that I see lots of clothing brands every single day, like new ones. And I'm always prompting them, or one of the first things that I ask them to do when they join is share an introduction post. And it's where they can share who they are, what their brand is, and what their brand's about. And so I get to experience all of these brand identities. And it's funny, it's actually amazing how similar so many of these are. And it's made evident a problem that I don't think many brand owners see or know about, because they've of course got their head down in their own clothing brand. This is one of the benefits of mine, that I don't have my own clothing brand, so I kind of get to, you know, sit up and look at all of this from the outside. I get to see the big picture and kind of present it back to you and say, hey, what do you want to do with this? And it's that you guys all sound the same. You all sound the same. And it really hit me when someone in my community who has a really good brand identity, who's really solid, who's really unique, he sent me a message and it was harsh. Look, I'm not going to expose him. And I'm not game enough to say as harsh as him. So this is his words, not mine. He says, making a brand around quality, unique designs, and inspiring others is about as common as sand. If I see one more person join this forum with that mantra, I'm going to like puke. Oh my goodness. Well, that's a bit harsh. Look, I don't want to offend anyone who's listening to this message, who's probably in the community, who knows my work, who maybe has even said that about their own brand. But rather, I want to give you the tools to change, because, I mean, heck, if it's working for you, then keep doing that. Clearly, it's working. But if you've gotten this far and you don't feel like it's working, you're not clear on your brand and your marketing isn't sticking, this is why I'm making it. Like, not just to insult people, but to actually help. I hope this helps. That's the point. And so, look, I can't help but feel my friend was right. It's about as common as sand. You cannot create a brand identity around unique designs, inspiring others, and quality. Because everyone, like, even the fact that everyone has access to the same manufacturers, right? Like, there's other brands accessing your manufacturers and buying your products and using that same fabric. Like, unless you literally created that fabric yourself and you brought it, that material from the moon, and no one else can get access. Like, there are other people creating your quality, and there are other people with your designs. I remember I was talking to a clothing brand one time, and his whole thing was about how his brand is better than other Instagram brands. And, you know, good point. There's a lot of Instagram brands out there that don't really pay much attention to the product side, and they're really crap, and they're here today, gone tomorrow. And so part of it's like, okay, fair enough. You are providing a higher quality than the most. However, like, you can't just be better than most. You need to be a category of one. And what I mean by that is that just because you are providing better quality than most people doesn't mean that you're suddenly unique, because there's still another, you know, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 clothing brands out there that are still better than most. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people, like, better than most is still a lot of clothing brands. And so you still need to differentiate yourself more than quality and unique designs, because there's so many brands out there that create high quality and unique designs. And let me be very clear. It is a must. Like, there needs to be a foundation of a good product. And if you don't have that, then no amount of marketing is going to fix your business. But let's make the assumption that you create high quality products. You have some unique designs. You have some unique ideas. Essentially, you're sweet on the product side of things. Let me talk about your marketing now, right? And yes, market those things about your product. The fact that it's high, like, it's well designed and it has great features and it's high quality. However, it is not a market differentiation. As my friend says, it's about as common as sand. That's the truth. That's the truth. And just to circle back. I think the claim that, oh, but my brand is higher quality than most is like saying, well, air is more common than sand. It's like, okay, yes, but you're still just as common in sand, and sand's common as hell. So, you know, I mean, that's if you live near the beach. If you don't, well, you know, well, maybe the analogy doesn't work out, but that's not the point, right? So it brings me to the fact that it's not about what you sell, but rather who you sell it to. And I've been pondering on the thought of making a brand for the 1% of customers. I believe that all of these marketing concepts that I'm speaking about, your community and creating a community platform and building customer loyalty, you know, 90% of your customers couldn't care less about it. 90% of them couldn't care about your brand story. They couldn't care, like, all of these things. Nobody cares. However, there's a 1% that do, you know, or maybe 1% is more like 10%. Besides the point. The point is that there's a minority of your customers that do care. And the question is, why do you make a brand for the minority? There's a few reasons. First of all, majority of your revenue comes from a minority of your customers, right? You'll find this to be true, that you will gain majority of your profit from a select percentage or a smaller percentage of loyal customers that have a higher lifetime customer value. I was just analyzing the brand Trico this week, and one of the videos that I was analyzing, the founder was reflecting on the fact that one of their email list subscribers had spent $5,000 lifetime on their products. Now think, if Trico releases a product on average for about $100, like, heck, call it $150, it doesn't matter. That's a hell of a lot of products that they would have had to bought. They would have had to buy, right? Let's just do the math. Like, $5,000 divided by 150, you would have to buy on average 333 products. Hold up, is that right? 5,000 divided by 150. Oh no, sorry, not 300. 33 products. Man, that's a lot. That's a lot. So a large portion, now I'm not saying $5,000 is a large portion of Trico revenue. It's not. But my point is, a large, like, if you have a number of customers like this, that adds up, and they won't all be 5,000, but a number of them will have bought at least two times or three or four, and they're going to be contributing a lot more revenue than those that had just bought once and go. And by the way, majority of your customers are just going to buy once, and that's okay. So this is why you create a brand for the 1%, because the 1% are the ones that buy every single drop, and they buy multiple garments, and they tell their friends, and they buy it for their friends. And this is the 1%. This is the 1%. And if you make a brand for the 1%, what you find you're doing is that you'll have a super niche brand identity that people either love or hate, because it's so specific onto a person that anyone who's not that person or that is the opposite of that person is just not going to like what you're doing. They're not going to want to associate with your brand. It's like, if you've ever seen someone walking around the city and you see them wearing a particular brand, and immediately you make a split second judgment about them. Now, I try not to do this, but sometimes you can't help it. Is the association of someone's identity with a brand. It's because that's a brand for the 1%, and you happen to not resonate with their target customer. So choose your 1%, like, and the way you can do this really simply and easily is pick a person in your world Like, just literally one person that you know. It could be a friend, family member, celebrity. Heck, I don't even know. Like, a TV character or a cartoon. Just somebody that's a person that has an identity, that has a personality, that has interests and a lifestyle. And then list out their interests, their lifestyle, their beliefs, values, personality. All of these traits that make this person who they are. The things that make them different from everybody else. Your job now is to associate your brand with that person and people like them. What's going to happen? You've created an aspirational identity. We all have people that look up to us. It doesn't matter what stage you are in life, what your status is. You have people that look up to you, and so does the person who you've chosen when I'm telling you pick this one person. So do they have people that look up to you. So if you model a brand after and around that person, and your brand takes on that same identity, there's going to be people that look up to that. There's going to be people that want to be a part of that and that want to wear your garments. Why? Because they want to become that person. That's what an aspirational identity is. Think about a brand like Nike. Nike's aspirational identity is a hardcore winner. Right? And they have a common enemy. Anyone who is a loser, who's a casual in sport, like this kind of person, they're not for Nike, right? You go and buy Adidas instead, or like, I don't know, right? But it's not about playing sport for fun for them. Like, for Nike, it's about winning. Like, you got to be a winner. And so who's the person they've chosen? Who's the 1% customer? It's Michael Jordan, right? He, if anyone, is probably one of the most influential, has been the most influential brand ambassadors of in the fashion world, full stop, ever. Right, think of, like, he's got a whole shoe line around him, and just that little wing of Nike does better than most large clothing brands out there. Like, my point is, this is pretty influential. Like, Michael Jordan is not trying to be a yes person. He's not trying to please people, right? Because someone could come along and say, you know, Nike, I don't really like that you're sharing this message through Michael Jordan about winning and stuff. I think it's about fun. You know, we play sport for fun. It's just about fun at the end of the day. Michael Jordan is someone who'd say, I don't care. Get to practice, right? This is a brand for the 1%. And then there's other people that come along at Nike and they couldn't care less about Michael Jordan and the brand identity, whatever. They just are buying it because they think the garments are cool. Nike doesn't care. Nike's still making a brand for the 1%. They're making a brand for their most loyal customer who buys again and again and again and cares a lot about their brand message. Most people that wear Nike probably don't even know what they post on Instagram about the stories that they share about. It's because Nike's creating a brand for the 1%. Now, how does this come into play in the wider scale of your customer base? If you're able to be super specific about your brand niche, your brand identity, right? So it's good. And that represents the 1% of your customers. You start creating a brand for that 1%. What's going to happen is that there's going to be people that interact with your brand indirectly. And that's through this 1% loyal customer. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just imagine, like, staying on this Nike example. So Jake comes along, he loves the Nike brand identity, he identifies with it, he's a sports person himself, he plays football, he plays basketball, he loves Michael Jordan, he's in it to win it, he's competitive, right? He embodies everything about their brand. He watches all the mini documentaries that Nike puts out, he buys into the message, he buys into the story, great. So Jake's out there on the basketball court and he's wearing the Nike basketball shoes. Now, one, you know, like Jake's has influence on his own circle of people, his own circle of friends. They're like-minded in some ways. You know, they're fairly competitive in sports. But man, they couldn't care less about a brand story. They just buy whatever looks cool. Right? They buy just the shoes that are in at the moment. They don't care about this, you know, influencers. Like, they don't care. What happens? They see Jake wearing the Nike Jordan basketball shoe. Because he's wearing it, it suddenly becomes cool to them. They've never had a direct relationship with Nike. They've only had an indirect relationship through a loyal Nike customer, but because of that, they now become buyers of the Nike brand. This is the power of making a brand for the 1%. This is the power of choosing a hyper-focused brand identity or customer identity, or selling something more than the material or the design. If you sell just the material or just the design, the only customer you'll ever get are the one-time buyers that are here today, gone tomorrow. They couldn't care less about your brand. They buy from every brand the same way. Whoever's got the highest quality, whoever's got the coolest design, whoever's in at the moment, that's who they're buying from. You sell the brand identity, you'll get loyal customers, and the loyal customers are almost like affiliate marketers. How are they affiliate marketers? Well, they're not actually, they're not legitimately, but they are, in that they're people that bring in more people. Why? Because they're advocates for your brand. They buy into your message, so they tell their friends about your brand. And their friends see them wearing it. And so their friends are the one-time buyers. Their friends are the ones that don't care about your brand message. But just because you have people like that that buy your brand doesn't mean you don't market to the ones that do. What's my point in all of this? It's coming through. I think you're hearing it already. Make a brand for the 1%. Make Instagram content for the 1%. Don't think to yourself, what do most people want to see? Think to, what do my most high value customers want to see? That's what you should be asking yourself, because your high value customers are going to bring in more people. And if you can create a system that attracts high value customers, that retains high value customers, keeps them buying and keeps them engaged in your social media and in your clothing drops, then the rest will do, like they will do the rest of the work for you. They will bring in the other people. I promise. I wanted to give you some examples of niche brands. I mean, I don't think I got off track there, but because we're still talking about the fact that quality, unique designs, and inspiring others is not enough of a brand identity. Like, you need to define more specifically within that what you're doing. I want to share some examples of you of super niche brands, so you know you're not too niche. You're probably too broad, if anything. The first one, I saw this brand called Dabbling Duck Co. Their brand identity is all about waterfowl hunting. Like, I mean, not just fowl hunting, but waterfowl hunting. I mean, heck, I don't even know if there's just fowls. There might be all waterfowls. I don't know. I'm not a hunter. But besides the point, this is super niche, and they're popping off on Instagram. Like, they've got, 30K or more Instagram followers from memory. And they sell clothing. Like, they sell clothing. So, like, this is crazy. This is how niche you can get. So go more niche. And if you're in one of these big buckets, for example, mental health or skating or environmental sustainability, like, the truth is these are even saturated niches. So you need to niche down even more. So, for example, mental health for who? And what area of mental health? Like, you might be a clothing brand that's focused on men's body image, and that's it. Like, that's niche. Or if you're sustainability, you might be a clothing brand that's focused on marine sustainability, like just the ocean. So, like, go, if you're in a really one of these like super broad buckets, like, niche down way more. And the thing is, like, and just linking to what I was saying before about creating clothing brand for the 1%, you're gonna niche down, like, so niche for the 1%. But you're going to have people outside of that still buy your brand. Like, let me use the example of a sustainability brand. Let's just say you niche down to marine sustainability. Heck, let's go even a layer deeper. Let's say you are just for turtles. You're a clothing brand that's all about saving the turtles. Okay, so you're going to have turtles, like, not turtles that are fans of your brand, but people that care about turtles that are fans of your brand. That's the 1%, and they're going to be your most loyal customers. Then you're going to have people that care about marine biology as a whole. So they're like, they don't really just care about turtles. You know, they're kind of more holistic. All right, they'll be into your brand. And then you're going to have, like, the people that are just sustainability, and then the people that don't really care about your brand. Like, they're still going to buy from your brand. They're just not going to be your most loyal customers. So the point of this is choosing the 1%, who's going to be your most loyal customers? Because if you don't, you'll likely have no one. And so this, like, my whole thing is about helping clothing brands build community. And it's amazing how, like, it's such a niche idea. Like, I'm not just helping clothing brands. And by the way, I mean, that's what I said this to you before. I don't have a clothing brand, so I don't deal with the product. I only deal with marketing because that's where my experience is, like in marketing for clothing brands, you know, doing video production, that kind of thing. So that's why I only talk about marketing. But even more specific than that, I'm community building. Like, this has allowed me to stick out and grow like crazy in the last month on YouTube. Like, I think I've 5x'd my audience on YouTube in the last 30 days. Like, which is crazy for me. Like, I'm so, so proud. And the reason is because people come to my channel and they say, man, like, I have not seen people talk about this stuff. Or they're not as in-depth as you. Why aren't they as in-depth? Because they're so broad. They're so general. And so the more specific you can go, the more in-depth you get. And heck, you might strike on some gold on the niche that you pick for your clothing brand. Seriously. Like, the other thing is, like, people come, like, I have a community for clothing brand owners. People message me on Instagram and they say, hey, like, I don't have a clothing brand, but we sell beverages. And we just like some of the concepts that you share. We think it's transferable. Heck yeah. Like, it's for them too. Heck, they might become my clients too. Are they my, like, ideal person? Is the content suited for them exactly? No. But is it transferable? Can they still get value from it? Might they still become a part of what I'm doing? Absolutely. The same is true for your brand. Even if someone doesn't resonate completely with your brand identity, like, they're still going to buy it. So don't let that put you off from choosing one in the first place. And so, look, I'm basically done. I just want to leave you with this thought. You're a clothing brand owner. You're listening to this right now. You're watching this right now, whatever. There's other clothing brand owners watching this right now. So you can go away and you can decide to do nothing, right? You can say, this is going to be hard, or I don't want to niche down, or I don't, okay, whatever. But the truth is, what you've been doing up until this point hasn't been working for you. And so we always have an option to change or to keep going. Now, change is always uncomfortable, but sometimes it's necessary, especially if it's not working. Or you could keep going and it's more comfortable. However, you might never get to where you want to go until you decide to change. So my challenge for you, and I hope this prompts you to take action, is to niche down now, because if you don't, someone else will. If you don't, if you're not the brand owner that niches down, there's another clothing brand owner that's going, okay, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to make change now. And they will. And next minute, you'll be looking at them and you'll be going, man, why aren't I doing it? Because they are willing to take steps that you aren't. So my only desire with this is that I hope it prompts you to take action today and make a hard decision. If you need to step back and rebrand, if you need to go more specific into your, if you need to decide that I'm not just selling clothing anymore, I'm going to sell a brand identity, do it. Just do it, because the long-term benefit it outweighs so far the short-term loss. The long-term benefit outweighs the short-term loss. So make the move, make the step. Last time I checked, you weren't making something for the short term. So don't act according to the short term, act according to the long term. Thanks very much for watching. If you enjoyed this, I make other valuable content. Some of it exclusively goes to a community that you can access for free. Link in the description. Join now. You just press join group. You answer 3 questions and you're in, very simply. But thanks very much for listening, for watching. If this was valuable, heck, like, here's the thing. I'm looking to have more conversations with brand owners who have interesting concepts for their clothing brands, either their brand identity or whatever. So if you think you have something to share on this show, please send me an email, lige@elijahdelport.com, lige@elijahdelport.com, exactly as my name is, and tell me, if you came onto this podcast, what would you want to talk about? What would we talk about? And heck, who knows, you might be on the next episode. But thanks very much for watching. I'll see you for the next episode. Bye for now.